In Search of Love, written by Barbara Cartland, narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1889. The Earl of Cunningham was on the last stage of his morning ride, the one that brought him in sight of Cunningham Hall, the great house that had been in his family for years. It had been built in the early 17th century, receiving several additions over the next 200 years. Now it stood, glowing in the morning sun, beautiful, imposing, and magnificent. Robert, the 6th Earl, had possessed his title for 8 years, and filled his position so well that he was extremely popular with all his neighbours in the corner of Kent. He was a man in the prime of his life. In his early 30s, he boasted a strong, handsome face and deep blue eyes. His mouth was stern, but he could burst into sudden laughter that transformed him. As he galloped towards his stables this morning, he at once noticed a carriage that he recognised as belonging to Sir Quentin Sudbury, the Lord Lieutenant of the County of Kent. The Earl groaned. If there was one thing he disliked, it was people who called on him before breakfast, and if there was one person he found tiresome, it was the Lord Lieutenant. "I wonder what can be wrong today," he asked himself as he walked into the house. If it was just a question of money, he supposed he would have to pay up. He was rich, even after finding dowries for his sisters. Two of them were older than him, and had married during his father's lifetime. Two were twins of almost his own age, and the fifth, much younger, had only married a year ago. His father had found the possession of 5 daughters a financial strain, but that was because he was wildly extravagant, always buying costly pictures and furniture. But after his death, Robert had found that many of the pictures were not what they pretended to be. His father had not been skilled at discerning fakes, and many of his best buys were worthless. He had also found that there was a great deal for him to organise on the estate itself. Farms had been somewhat neglected. Even the garden needed more attention and more imagination to make it as outstanding as it should be. The same applied to the forest and the river which ran through the estate. The Earl had sold some of his good pictures, provided for his remaining sisters, and invested the rest in reviving the estate, which his father had not cared for at all well. At last his efforts had borne fruit. His revenues rose until once more he was as wealthy as the Earl of Cunningham expected to be. He could remember his pride when his Uncle James had said to him, "If you can do all this now, what will it be like in 20 years? What a legacy you will leave for your son!" The Earl laughed and replied, "I will have to produce him first." "Well, hurry up and choose a lady. What bride would not want to come to such a home?" "I have to be certain," the Earl said, "that she loves me, and not just the house." Uncle James had laughed. "That is true," he agreed. "You need to be very sensible. Women like a title." The Earl had already discovered this truth. Parents said openly that they wanted their daughter to become the Countess and to live grandly at the Hall. So far, he had succeeded in keeping his distance. But there was no chance of keeping his distance from the Lord Lieutenant, so the Earl walked sharply down the corridor which led to his sitting room. It was a charming room, with windows overlooking the garden. In one corner there was a beautiful 18th-century desk. On it stood a gold inkpot and gold-top pens with which his grandfather, his father, and now he, signed their special letters. He had added several very valuable pictures, which were his favourites. He was fond of this room, just as his father had been fond of it, and his grandfather before him. But today he was not at all pleased by the sight of Sir Quentin Sudbury waiting for him. After the Earl, he owned the largest amount of land in the county, and, as Lord Lieutenant, was continually bothering him with one request or another. The Earl had always remained on cordial terms with Sir Quentin. He had given more or less what was expected of him, or had managed to refuse requests in such a charming way that the Lord Lieutenant had departed quite content.